Colossians 3 and 5 through 6. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, we're talking about part 3 of strangling the strongholds tonight. Every one of you have strongholds in your mind that only you can take down. You know why? Because you're the one that built them. Amen. And how did you build those strongholds? Would you help me out? Every time you got a brick, you held it. Another brick came along. Before you knew it, you had a series of thoughts in that head. Okay? So the Lord can't do nothing about your thoughts. I say he can't. He could, I suppose, but he don't.
It's up to us.
That's up to you. So if you want to walk in freedom, if you want to be free, you got to take every thought. And you've got to say, what is the truth about this lie? And cast it down. You have to do that. And there's a reason for it. We're going to read about it and teach you about it tonight. Verse 5. Colossians chapter 3. Mortify. What does that mean? Kill. Kill your members.
Yes.
That's your tongue. Your eyes. Your ears. Kill it all. And listen to what he said. And I want every young person here to listen to me. Andrew, I'm so proud of you, son. Seeing you in the altars tonight. The way y'all were praying. You and Relita. Amen. You keep that up, son, and you'll turn your life around.
Amen.
So what are some of the things we've got to kill? Number one, sex before marriage.
Oh, yes.
Any sex outside of marriage is an abomination to Yahweh. I want you to hear me. There's a reason I said call all the young people in here tonight.
Amen.
Where's Brother Michael? Okay. All right. Brother Matthew. Not that I'm preaching to y'all, but it will. You got to kill fornication. If you don't have a ring on it, then you can't get in it. You understand your pastor? Yes, sir. And young lady, if he don't respect you enough to put a ring on it, then you need to learn where your power lies. You need to learn to click, click, and wait till you get a ring put on it. Amen? Oh, well, I came to preach tonight. Hallelujah. He said you got to kill fornication.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's no laughing matter.
No, it's not.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
It's no laughing matter. And fornication is not just sex before marriage. Fornication is everything outside of a marriage covenant.
Yes. Yes.
No matter what it is. Yes.
Right.
I said no matter what it is, you got to kill it.
Yes.
I didn't say you wasn't going to desire it.
Right.
Yeah, that thought's going to come. You got to kill the thought. You got to look at your wife. I don't care how fat she is, how skinny she is. I don't care how many teeth she's lost. I don't care how many eyebrows she's got missing. You got to find a way to be attracted to her. And you got to find a way to love her and be happy in your marriage. You got to do it. That's where it's at if you love them. Hallelujah. You got to get rid of uncleanness. You've got to get rid of inordinate affection. What does that mean? An affection that God did not ordain. Lesbianism. Homosexuality. All of that is inordinate affection. Sir, if you, young men, I want you to hear me now. Yes, sir, young men, listen. If you won't, if a thought ever comes in your mind about another man, you need to just go and shoot yourself.
That's it.
I'm serious. Shoot yourself in the foot.
Yes, sir.
That way, every time you think that thought again, you'll remember how bad that thought hurt.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Y'all, people don't like this kind of preaching. I don't care. We got boys in the church. church turning into homosexuals because we dare to preach against it. It's an abomination before Yahweh. You gotta kill it. Well, Brother Vaughn, I was this and I was that and I was born that way. Quit lying on God. Quit lying. You was not born that way. You became that way because the church didn't want to offend you and let you come up here and dance with us while you twist it.
Come on, Pastor.
All right.
Amen.
Evil concupiscence, which is the same thing as pornography. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, why, Brother Vaughn, do we need to get rid of these things? I'm saved. I get it. I get that. I'm saved and I'm committing fornication. Well, all right. So, you know, I'm saved and I'm going to let you be saved in a minute. I'm saved, Brother Vaughn. So why does it matter that I get rid of these things if I'm saved? I'll tell you why. Next verse. For these things stir up the wrath of God against you. That's good stuff. The reason you've got to get rid of them, it's not about your salvation. I don't know who, if God's going to save you or not. See, that's the problem. I don't care if he's going to save you or not, but I just don't want him mad at you. Unless you've ever experienced the wrath of God like I have, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Now you can be seated, but I want everybody to listen to me tonight. If you don't want God mad at you, then you better flee these things that stir up his wrath.
Oh, yes.
But the reason the modern church is filled with sexual sin in the church, the reason it's filled with these things, there is no more wrath of God.
That's right.
Nobody, they'll tell you before you come preach your revival, don't preach the wrath of God. You preach the love of God.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm not scared of the love of God, but I'm scared of the wrath of God. And until you get scared of that wrath, what does the wrath of God look like? Let me explain something to you. Brother Vaughn, I want to walk in deliverance, all right? I want to walk in freedom. What is freedom? It is not the fact that you don't desire sin anymore, but it's in the fact that you desire repentance more. Brother Vaughn, I want to be free. If you desire to be free, you already are. The freedom is in the desire to be free. It's when you no longer desire to be free that you're now bound, because now you have a reprobate mind. When you sin, Brother Shane Sewell, when you come short, when you miss the mark, that is not what stirs up the wrath of God. What stirs up his wrath is when you thought that, or you even did that, and there was no fear of his wrath.
Hallelujah.
I promise you, when you meet the wrath of God, I've met it. Sister Janice, when you meet his wrath, you will do everything in your power. It's just like your parents, Sister Pat. They may love you, and they're not going to kick you out of the house. But when you break their law, you're going to stir up their
wrath. Come on.
Yes, you do.
And your life's going to be pretty difficult for just a few little weeks around the house.
Oh, yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir. If they don't put you out.
That's right. Yahweh does it say it? I just read it. These things stir up his wrath.
Yes, they do.
If you want to see the wrath of God, let me show you what it looks like. When you live in these vices that God is telling you to lay down, when you don't do it, when you hear preaching like this and it doesn't stir you, you're already bound. There's very little help for you now. When this kind of preaching doesn't cause you to see, there comes a time when you ought to not even be able to say amen to the preacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm serious. There ought to be a time you wishing one of the kids would start crying so you could walk out.
Yeah.
That's when you're in real church.
Yes,
when you're learning how to keep the wrath of God off of your life. You ignite the anger of Yahweh against you, and guess what else? Your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Amen.
I've seen it with my eyes.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? I've seen it. I watched my own father die at 60-something years old, an ungodly death, a horrible death because of things that he brought on his life, and then he brought it on my life, and it's brought it on my son's lives. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you stir up the wrath of God, it's going to cost you everything that you love.
Yes, it will.
But you don't believe it? Try it.
Oh, yes.
What is it? Acts of disobedience angers Yahweh. Now, the Christian church will teach you that God don't get mad. I've heard Creflo nickel, dollar, half dollar, quarter, whatever his name is, say those things that God doesn't get angry at us. Well, that's all lies.
Yes, sir.
If you don't believe it, ask Jonah what the price of disobedience is.
Come on.
Ask Lot's wife about the wrath of God. Ask Rick Connolly about the wrath of God. Ask Alan Morgan about the wrath of God. Ask Shane Vaughn about the wrath of God. Ask Callie Sewell about the wrath of God. I could go all through everybody. If you've ever experienced that wrath, it is not there to destroy you. It is there to detour you from the way you are headed. What it does, it will turn you into a wanderer. You'll be wandering your whole life. That vagabond spirit. When God has got you under punishment, you are a vagabond. You find no peace. You find no joy. You find no place to put your roots. You're always running from house to house, living with this person and that person, and running from yonder to there. You're under the wrath of God.
Amen.
When your life is going in circles, it's because you brought it on yourself by rebelling against the word of God.
Amen.
Quit going in circles tonight. By obeying Yahweh's word. You see those commandments in the front of this church? Obey them and your life will come. It'll turn from a circle to a straight line. Amen. You'll have a destiny. You'll have a journey. So tonight I'm going to teach you how and why you must strangle these strongholds in your mind. I want you to understand how important it is to God that you walk free. And I wish to God, Sister Maxine, I wish I could preach that sermon that is making other preachers so rich and filling their tents up. I wish I could preach that it was as simple as a service.
That's it.
Preach truth.
I would love that. What amazes me is they preach. God said, cast out devils in my name. It also said, heal the sick. Why are you not bringing the wheelchairs up there? Because you can't fake that.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, he said, we got power to cast out devils. He also said, you got power to take up snakes. Anybody want to start?
Yeah.
Ain't that funny? You ain't got no snakes in the church, but you're inviting devils in. I'd rather have snakes.
Yeah, right. At least you know where they are.
Yeah, that's right. They're over there in a box, y'all.
Oh, yes. You know where they are.
They already say we're caught. Don't nobody bring none up here. But you know, it's funny, but it's true. Why are you going to choose deliverance as your feature?
Come on.
That's it.
Right. Come on.
Why don't you bring the lame up there?
Or the dead.
Why don't you bring the wheelchairs up there? Because you can't fake that one. See, you can't spit that out and say that you're having a move of God. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you that's watching me tonight how you can walk in deliverance.
Yes, sir.
By tearing down the stronghold.
Amen.
By strangling the way you think in rebellion to Yahweh. If you're not a Sabbath keeper, you are in rebellion and you will walk under the wrath of that rebellion. If you're not a tither, you will walk under the wrath and can't nobody pray it off of you. That's why the Bible said lay hands suddenly on no man. That's why I don't pray for everybody. Because I understand what you have brought on yourself, soap and water and Ajax can't get off of you. And prayer ain't going to help either. For example, I know a lady that ran everybody in the country down, tried to destroy this church, tried to destroy Brother and Sister Kendra, tried to destroy me. She ran her mouth against all of them, and she came up with breast cancer. And now here's the deal. Now, I didn't put that on her, and I didn't want her to have it, and I'm not glad she did. But here's the deal. If you stir up the wrath of God, and he says, I will send these sicknesses upon you. That's what your Bible said. I didn't say that. Now what happens when that lady goes down to the tent revival and gets in the prayer line for healing?
Come on. Wow.
Oh, yes.
You're a mocker.
That's it.
And then when I lay hands on you saying, be healed, you're mocking the prayer of the sick. See, these are things you ain't nobody gonna, nobody preaches this stuff. Darling, I don't want to pray for everybody. Right now, I know a situation of a married couple. They just split up. You know, one part of me wants to pray for them to prepare their marriage. But you see, I understand they're under the wrath of God. And if y'all knew who I was talking about, you'd understand why. You cannot involve yourself with sin and not experience God's wrath. Now, when your life, Elder Connolly tells me the story before they came here, pretty much homeless, living, I believe you told me you and Sister Tilly went and was living pretty much in the woods almost or something like that.
No electricity, no water, no sewer over a year.
Over a year. It ain't that way no more. You know why? You got in a straight line. We are live. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for that. Amen. We greet our live audience. You done missed the good stuff, but that's all right. We're glad to have you tonight. Why do we need to turn away from sin? Why?
Because sin separates us from Yahweh.
Absolutely.
Completely.
Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. See, there was a time in my life when I had to walk away from sin. My life was going in circles, round and round. When you see your life going round and round, you better do an inspection. Somebody say
a checkup
from the neck up. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, Sister Tilly, look at me. Whatever's wrong with you, I command it to loose you right now.
Hey.
Amen. In the name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. Whatever the enemy wants to do right there, don't let him do it. Amen. You walk in freedom. Amen. You have power over every thought, over every emotion, over everything the enemy does to you. You're the conqueror. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 8, Ephesians 4. And I'm going to prove to you tonight the purpose of the local church and why the local church will help us turn from sin. I'm going to teach you now why COVID-19 came along, and I'm going to teach you why all the churches shut down. I'm going to teach you right now Satan's agenda against the local church. Most of the Christians you speak to today will tell you, I don't need a church. It's between me and God. I've got my own relationship with God. That sounds great. But let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. What is this? What was happening in that verse?
What's the say?
They're ascending and descending.
What was happening? What is this referring to? These verses is about when Yeshua was ascending to his Father. Okay? It talks about he was getting ready to go to his Father in heaven on the eighth day after his resurrection. And on his way up, he said, oh, wait a minute. I forgot something. I'm leaving my people without correction. I'm leaving them for the devil to destroy them. Wow. On his way to heaven. You go read it again. As he was ascending, he said, oh, I've got to give gifts to my church. Wow. The last gifts that Yeshua gave the church was not his blood or his death. It was your preacher. Why does people, we don't even believe the Bible. It says he gave gifts unto men, verse 11, and what were those gifts?
Apostles.
Prophets. Evangelists. Pastors. Teachers. What you call just men like you, Yeshua called them gifts from God. A man just like me, you better think again. Think again. He's a gift from God. And how you treat him is how you treat God. If I give you, Sister Pat, that gift you gave me of that vase that's in my garden, that beautiful vase there, if I take her gift and mishandle that gift, I have mishandled her. Because the gift is her. It came from her bosom. It came from the depths of her love for me. That's why I never throw a gift away. I've got Toto gifts from children all over the country that most people would wad up and throw away. But I can't, because they sent their little hearts to me. They sent what's inside of them to me. Some of them sent me 25 cents. They sent me a dollar bill. And I have every one of them. Why? Because as I handle their gifts, I'm handling them. The way you handle God's gift of the ministry is how you have handled God himself. I'm so glad my grandmother raised me. Oh, I'm glad my grandmother raised, Lois Gatlin raised me. And let me tell you something, my friend. If there was a preacher in the room, oh yeah, and I called them anything like by their first name, or if I just was in any way nonchalant to them, honey, you didn't want to be at my house that night. She taught me to fear the gifts of God, to be thankful for them, to appreciate his gifts. Now, why are these gifts so important? Because if you plan to turn away from can't see your own sin. You can't. It's just like people that's getting fat. They don't even know they're getting fat. You know? You laid up watching Netflix, done gained 50 pounds, still think you good looking. Yeah, but they can't see in the mirror, mama. If you don't believe it, they're still wearing them tight leggings to Walmart. You see cottage cheese and dimples everywhere you look. Somebody don't even know how to tell you fat. You need somebody to say, hey, baby, you're putting on a few pounds, ain't you? Every time somebody mentions my weight, it might offend me for a moment, but when I go home, you know what it reminds me of? Do something about it. You need a watchman that will offend you for the sins in your life, for your attitude, for the way you treat people, for the way you act, because you can't see it. I'll give you an example of that. 2 months ago, I wore this same shirt to church, and I saw a video where that button was popping out so far. Now, it ain't popping no more. I done got it down. But you see, I didn't even realize that thing was popping out almost. I didn't know I was that fat.
Come on. You was, Pastor, a little bit.
I got a mirror, but I wasn't looking in it. I was looking from here up like we do on selfies. You need somebody. The Bible said the heart of a man is desperately wicked. He can't know himself.
Amen. That's true.
You can't know yourself. You got to have a shepherd.
Amen.
That pulls you to the side and says, that attitude, you got to do something about that. These are God's gifts, because he wants sin out of your life. But you can't see your own sin.
Amen.
You think your smart aleck mouth is just part of who you are. I thought you was dead. It's part of just who I am. I know, and that's what I'm here for. I don't want you to be who you are. I want you to be like Christ, like the Word. You need a preacher that's watching for your soul. I see God gave us these gifts. Because if you don't let somebody watch over your soul, you'll stir up the wrath of God in your life.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, before I go away, hold on, stop, Father in heaven, I got to do something. I got to give my people 5 gifts. So that they can be free from sin. Now, why did he give us these 5 gifts? It wasn't to get you to heaven. It wasn't to get you saved. It was to get you mad. Verse 12. Why did he give those gifts?
For the
beating of the saints.
Come on. Whoop our tails.
Come on now. Brother Vaughn, it don't say beating. Oh, yes, it does. How do you perfect gold? How do you perfect silver? How do you perfect? By thrashing it out. He gave you, got a preacher that's not beating you every service. Oh, I want to just be encouraged. That's the problem. It's still all about you. But when that man of God takes that chisel and shines a searchlight in your heart while he's preaching, so much so that you're like, God, I wish he'd go to the next subject. Whenever that begins to happen, you found a preacher. You found a gift from God. You found something that's going to perfect you. Hallelujah. That they might do the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How long do you need these preachers? Until we come into maturity. And the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man that the church said you could never become.
There he is.
There's your perfect man right here. That's why I brought this out tonight. We're going to talk about the strangling of these strongholds and how you can do it. I don't care what the church taught you. I've come to tell the whole world you can do it. You can become like Christ. You can. Yes, you can. And if you can't, then what are we even striving for? It's like giving me a dump truck to go up a mountain, and the mountain just keeps growing taller the more I go up it. You're wasting your time. Now, if you want to, let's go down to verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, that you may grow up. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I know it's going to hurt your feelings, but it's for you to grow up. Look at this. Look at this. It's for you to grow up. It's for you to grow up into what? Him. In all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, I want to cover one more time tonight, real quickly, this temple furniture that we're looking at here. And remember the temple furniture. The center starts at the altar of sacrifice. This is where you come and repent of your sins. You confess Christ as your Savior. That's your starting point. Then you must be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, which is the laver. Then you come and you develop your prayer life. That's the altar. Then you come to the menorah, which is obedience to God's law by studying His Word. So you come through these steps. I want you to look at the points of your Christian life and see if you don't remember some of these steps.
Yeah.
Remember when you first came into the church and they taught you to pray.
Yeah.
And now you're in the church and now we're teaching you how to obey God's law.
Yeah.
And how to study the Word. And then that's going to bring you into the hidden manna, and that's going to bring you into headship union with Yahweh's will for your life. That is the journey when it says grow up into Him. Now go back again. This is day one. That's the earth when it was created. That is the beginning. The old creation follows the new creation. Day two, the water separated. Are y'all, you see the water? Same thing. Day two. Day three, another separation, which is what we have in prayer. Day four, we have another separation. Day five, we have another separation. And then in day six, right here, that is where we have grown up into Him.
Amen.
This is how you destroy the strongholds in your mind. Through these steps, you first repent, then you're baptized, then you develop your prayer life, then you replace your thoughts with God's Word, and then you come into the secret manna of His Word, and then you come into full obedience and relationship to Him. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to bring it even further for you tonight and try to break it down even more. Thank you, Lord. We're going to try to, I want these word pictures in your mind so that you can understand what God is doing and why He's calling you into holiness.
Come on.
And a separated life. You need to understand these things. Now, Yahweh's first Bible was the Masoreth, which was the stars. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just seeing if y'all out there. That was his first Bible, the heavenly scroll. His second Bible was nature. Before there was ever a Torah written, the truth was written in nature. Amen? The third Bible was written on stone and scrolls. And the present Bible is now in printed form. But tonight I want to go to his second Bible and teach you more of the same thing and try to simplify it for you so that you can never forget this truth about strangling these strongholds. Now, growing into the head is what I want to talk about. And to do that, I'm going to try. I am no artist. I'm a horrible artist. But I think I can make the point plain for you anyway. It all starts with a seed. Okay? I call that the word seed. All right? Now, this is this. Stay with me now. Day one. Repentance is what the word seed is. Okay? Now, what is the word seed? The word seed is how can they hear without a preacher? Because there's only something in the word seed that will work in producing eternal life in you. All life begins where? Wake up. Right there in the seed. Now you're going to get more teaching tonight than you was really prepared for, so be ready. All life begins with the seed. This is the begettal process. Begettal. What's the difference in begettal and born?
Begettal is the beginning. Born is the end.
Absolutely. This is why people believe they're born again. Because they have the word seed. Brothers and sisters, without being too plain with children in the room, when you have the male seed, you still don't have a birth. You have a beginning, a begettal. When the word seed joins up with your female mind, okay, in other words, I'm correlating the male seed, the word seed, and making you the bride. You're the female mind. This spermaceed of Yahweh. Is this too much? Okay. This spermaceed of Yahweh comes to your ears from some man of God that spits out a seed like this. That's a word seed. It finds a place in your ears. It goes in your ears into your mind. When that word seed comes in, read for me 1 Corinthians 4:15. You must understand, brothers and sisters, this is not this. Tell you what, I bet those watching me online's eating it up. You can't come to this church and not be ready to hear deep teaching. You're in the wrong place. We don't play church around here and everybody get emotional and go home. Y'all thought that's what I was going to do tonight. No, you don't know me. That ain't going to keep you next week. I promise you that. It's like a good drink at the bar. It's good for a little while. Some of you already going down. See, it only lasts for a minute or two. Then you need the word. That's why we got a bunch of immature Christians. They all having church. People getting the Holy Ghost and going home. That's why they don't come back next week. If you tired, go home, darling. This is my show. And this is what I'm doing. I'm teaching. Because you got to know that you are not yet born again.
Amen.
If you think you are, then we got a real problem with some of you. Because you ain't looking like the word seed that begat you.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Come on, Pastor.
The most damnable doctrine in the Christian church is I've been born again.
Amen.
How you born again when you don't look nothing like the seed of God that created you? You are not born again. You are begotten again.
Come on.
us talking about being born again. Where do they mess up? The Greek word genio. You can look this up. Challenge me. Check me out. The word genio, G-E-N-N-A-O, has two meanings. You can interpret it either way you want to. The word beget and the word born is the exact same Greek word, which is genio. Anybody want to look it up right now if you want to? That Greek word can mean either one of those. Who decides what it means? The translators. They're reading the line pen of the scribes. They're reading. But the funny thing about it is, if you'll read that scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:15, when you find the word born again, genio, read that verse right there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:15.
For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Yahshua, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, Yahshua, I have begotten you through the gospel.
What did Paul say he had done? Did he get you born again or did he beget you? The word begot right there is the same Greek word as born whenever Nicodemus is talking to Jesus. Mistranslated. See, you, if you don't know these things, you'll walk around, I'm born again, while you're running people down. Lying on your daddy. How you been born again when you're still a smart aleck? You were begotten again, and if you'll hold on a little while, put you in the water right here. Y'all, this is good teaching. You need this. You need to know this. When we put you in the water right here, we're not trying to get you to the water. We're trying to get you through the water so we can get you up here. Do you understand that? But in the church, we teach that that's it.
Right there.
You got it, brother. Welcome to the kingdom of God. No, welcome to the battle, darling. You just got started. You go fight hell every day of your life. When that word seed comes in, it starts your born again process. Paul said, I have begotten you with what? The gospel. What is the gospel? The word seed. He said, I preached the word to you and I begat you. I dropped it like it was hot. I dropped the seed. I came by and did a drive-by and I dropped the seed. And I left Luke behind to develop that seed and pastor you. The evangelist and drop some seed and begat you, but now those other four ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, they're going to take what I drop and bring it to maturity that you might be born again. You will be born again in the resurrection. Not the... You'll be born again in the resurrection. You will be begotten again. See, that's why some people don't make it, Sister Janice. They don't make it because they thought that was the born again. And they didn't understand. They were still, remember those things, get rid of fornication. They still had all that in their lives. But they're born again. They got the Holy Ghost. And yes, they do have the Holy Ghost. You see, they've got the seed.
Yes. Yes.
They do have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's just the Holy almost is what it is.
Yes. Yes.
So we can't understand. Okay, well, I spoke in a heavenly language. I've done this. I've been baptized. But you know, I'm still craving that. I've still got these strongholds in my mind. I've still got that. But see, the church didn't tell you that what you got was just the beginning of a battle. It's not until you take that seed right there and bathe it in prayer that you start going up into Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The embryo of life is in the seed. But what happens? This seed will then go into the what? The ground. Okay? What is that ground? Your mind. The word was preached. You're hearing me preach it tonight, son. Just a bunch of words. Just sounds like a bunch of words. It's not words. It's seed. I'm dropping that seed all over the nation tonight. It's seed. It's going to fall into ground tonight. Good ground, bad ground. Some people's going to laugh at my words. Some people's going to ignore them. Some people's going to mock me. But there is a few that's going to receive the word seed into their mind.
Hallelujah. Got good ground.
But if I tell those people, welcome to the kingdom of God,
right.
You got it, brother.
Yeah.
Welcome. Here's your ticket to heaven. I have killed them.
Pastor,
we have killed more people because when they got the Holy Ghost, we told them they were born again. And they was waking up the next day not feeling too born again.
Yes, that's right.
And here comes the devil saying what? You really didn't get the real thing. Or you still wouldn't be craving that cigarette. Or you still wouldn't be craving that pornography. Or you still wouldn't be craving that drama. You didn't get nothing. But if I tell you the truth, if I tell you you got a seed, and now you got to do something with that seed, now you're ready for the battle. The most dangerous thing we have taught Christians is that they are born again. Well, Brother Vaughn, when I got the Holy Ghost, I was changed. No, you wasn't. No, you wasn't. Here's what happened. You had a seed came in that began to change you. But if you tell me you was changed at the beginning like you are right now, you're not telling the truth.
That's right.
This Holy Ghost develops you over a lifetime. And one day soon, Sister Pat, when we drop the seed, we drop that seed and we put you in the womb of Mother Church. And now, here comes those fivefold ministers.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The church is our mother.
Yep.
Do I need to quote the scripture? It's in your Bible. The Bible said that Jerusalem is the mother of us all. But the Holy Spirit is the father of us all, just like he was the father of Yahshua. Come on now. Is anybody hearing me? Who set up the seed for Yahshua? Who set that up? The Holy Spirit? Yahweh?
Amen.
Same person set it up for you, darling.
Yeah.
That's deeper than anybody just called. So I'll try it one more time. Everybody talks about how amazing it was that Yahshua, the Holy Ghost, had something to do with his birth and making that seed and all that.
Same thing happened to us.
Same Holy Ghost, same Holy Spirit overshadowed you and dropped something inside of you and placed you in the church. My God, if you don't understand what I'm teaching. Quit making Yahshua more in his lifetime than what he was. Yahshua was born of the Holy Ghost just like you were and walked the just like you will. And he said, if you'll suffer with me, you're going to be just like me.
That's right.
right. We'll reign with them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo. I'm trying to help you.
Join in.
I'm trying to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you still going to have bad thoughts.
Yes, sir.
You still going to want to steal something to get by the easy way. You still going to want to cheat on your taxes. You're still going to want those things. It don't see, quit telling people it happens overnight. It doesn't.
Pastor, that thing messed me up.
Now, for some people, it happens quicker than others. You know why? Some people were already living moral lives when they received the Holy Spirit. Some of you wasn't. Some people grew up in moral homes.
Amen.
They were moral. They don't steal anyway.
Yeah. You know, when I was told that when I received the Holy Ghost, I would have a new mind, a new way of thinking.
Yes, sir.
And it really messed me up because I was told like it would come. It'd be instant.
Yes, sir.
It never was.
It don't happen that way.
It messed me up.
But it'll mess you up for years.
Yes.
You, until you see that that's a seed and that's not a birth.
Come on.
Once you understand, that's one of the most powerful doctrines we preach here, is this begotten again doctrine. You've got to know that when the Holy Ghost comes in, he don't take over. You have to let him take over. How do you do it? By strangling the stronghold. By tearing down those things in your mind that is hindering his growth in you. So then you're begotten by the Holy Spirit. And where does he place you? In the waters of baptism. What happens when you're baptized? Let me solve the mystery.
Get started.
That pool of water up there is the literal womb of Mother Church.
Amen.
When your daddy planted a seed, he put you in the water. Come
on. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
When your daddy planted the seed, first place you went was in the water. When the Holy Ghost plants a seed, first place you're going is in the water. And I'm going to baptize you into the church, the house of Israel. And when you get in there, you're making a covenant with your mother, the church, and those ministers that are over that. To let them mature you. Yahweh places you in their care. To mature you. To give you a check. To bring you in. You know COVID-19, what happened? To take you out of the assembly of accountability. You know why people want to sit home and watch us on screens now? You can hide your sin. You can hide who you are. You can stay from among the brethren. But the Bible said coming into the congregation, lifting up holy hands together. I realize some don't have a local church, but if I lived within 100 miles of one, I promise you where I would be.
Yes,
I want a pastor. I want an apostle, a bishop. I want somebody to say, hey, brother, I love you. You need to get a check on yourself.
Yeah,
hallelujah. All right, I'm moving right along. Now, what happens when this seed goes into the ground? Watch this carefully. That seed, I'm just going to put the menorah in there for a symbol. The life of Christ is in that seed. It's in the ground now. But for that seed to do the work it's called to do, the first thing that has to happen is that outer shell has to break. What did Joshua say? Except a corn dies and falls into the earth and is broken open. Then what's inside that seed will never help you. There's got to be a separation. Let me break it down. And I'm going to try to do this. Those of you that know about health know this. What's one thing that don't digest? Corn.
Yes.
Yeah, eat you a bunch of corn. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It don't digest. But now, corn is not bad for you unless you don't chew it. The only way corn is good for you is if you break open the corn with your teeth. Because the nutrition in the corn, the life in the corn, cannot get out of the corn until you work it out, till you do something to break open what's been deposited into your mind. So you got to chew the cud. You got to chew the corn. And why? Because when the word comes in, it's up to you to chew the word. That's why the only clean animal is one that chews the cud. It's a symbol of chewing the word seed. If not, you can hear somebody preach to you. You know what to do? Pass right through you.
Don't get nothing out of it.
Get nothing. You know why? You didn't take that and chew on it. You know what the angel told John? He said, take the little book. Take the little book. Chew it up. Because what's in the book, if you just swallow it, it's coming right back out. You didn't get what's in the book unless you chew it. You cannot get my preaching unless you chew it. If not, I see some of your eyes sometimes. It's just going right. You're not chewing it. You're ready to go home. You're ready to do your thing. It's the wrong church for you then. Because here, we're going to tell you, chew it. I'm going to sit right there while you chew it. And as you chew it, here's what will happen. 3 days from now, you'll be on your job, and all of a sudden, what I preach tonight, you'll be like, "Wait, I just now got what he said." No, this is corn I'm giving you, and it's up to you whether it's going to come out of you or if it's going to bless you, if it's going to help you grow, if it's going to give you strength. Listen to me. There is something more powerful than the word of God, and it's your response to it. Do you know why? That's why I don't like going in churches where they preach 30 minutes. You ain't even give me nothing to chew on. You're trying to get a sinner saved, preaching about going to hell, and I'm sitting there wanting something to chew on. The life is in the seed. You've got to chew the life out of it. When the word seed is planted in you, it'll pass right through you with no benefit unless you eat the little book. Why? Because that is where the hidden manna is. It's hidden in the outer shell. What does the outer shell look like? Now, it's going to take you to really think right now. What does the outer shell of the seed life look like? English. Spanish. Just words. Right now, what's coming out of this mouth of clay? Just a bunch of words. Unless you chew it. But if you chew it, there's something in that outer shell called words that's life. And it will never come into your life. You'll continue to walk in these sins that you're walking in unless you chew enough of my preaching and these other ministers' preaching that it begins to overcome the desire for sin in your life. The victory over your flesh is in this seed that you're chewing on tonight. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to be under the preaching of the word. This is what the Spirit does for us, free of charge, by grace. No works are involved. Now, what happens after you chew this seed? Watch this. It breaks open, and then look what the seed does at that point. It takes roots.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Come on.
Yes.
It went from some loudmouth preacher right there. And you decided to chew on what he said. And before you know it, what's rooted in you now is your strongholds. But have you ever seen what happens when other roots begin to overtake other roots?
Yes.
The whole ground begins to break up.
Come on.
Yeah.
When this seed begins to take root in you,
yes.
Strangles the other roots.
Absolutely, sir. Now you're getting new roots.
Yes.
That's why you cannot go to church and have a concert every service.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
The church is so emotional. And I'm not against emotions. There's a place for it.
That's right.
But our churches are so emotional. We want to cry. We want to shout. And that's all good. But there's no roots in none of it. Soon as that sad song is over and Hank Williams puts up the guitar, your life goes back to living hell all over again. You come to church and you want to just hear, you know, Lauren, whatever the girl's name is, that's a real famous singer. You just want to, you know how long that's going to last you? Until it's over.
Yes, right.
Amen.
I love music. It's for the moment. It's not for the race. This is the only thing that has roots to it. When you take this preaching, Brother Shay, and it begins to get into where tomorrow you're walking around your yard, and what I'm preaching tonight, all of a sudden you have some thoughts coming up about what I preached. And not, see, there's new roots taking over your life. Now, I'm trying to move along. Now, the Spirit does this right here, free of charge. That's grace. Look. You'll never earn that seed. It's free. By nothing you've done, Sister Pat. You can't keep enough Sabbath days or anything to get that seed. It comes by grace. But I promise you this, that comes by works. What work? Chewing the corn. Don't ever underestimate the power of that seed and what it's doing in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Now, after this seed grows roots, somebody come clean that off for me real quick. I want to show you what happens next. Yes, sir. These roots that spring or begin to grow, they're going to produce what's called a shoot. So tonight I want to take you from the root to the shoot, or from begotten to born again. It's all the same thing. Or from the altar to the covenant. You know, it's all the same. Day one, day seven. Let it all work together to create the word picture for you. So now it's taken roots in this ground, and look what comes out of the ground now. A shoot. It started with the preacher. It came in. Now, the shoots that's in your mind right now are the shoots that Kim Kardashian puts there, and that Hollywood puts there, and that your co-workers put there, and that this world, your family, somebody comes to your home talking negative, they put shoots in your mind. They grow up. But what happens with the Word of God, when you chew on it, it'll send up a shoot. That shoot is you. And then a flower begins to grow. But I want you to notice what begins to happen as you're growing into the head. The new man begins to grow inside the womb of the church. All of a sudden, he is now needing something more than a seed. He's got to draw nutrients from the sun and from the rain. while he's still drawing nutrients from the ground. The ground is the crucified Christ.
Oh, yes.
The Son is the coming Christ. Y'all missed a great opportunity to shout right there. All of a sudden, this flower, which is you, has your roots in the blood of Christ.
Yes.
In the preaching of the word, and you'll always need it. But to the man that's coming into this, that flower begins to reach for more. That flower begins to need more than the finished work of the cross. Brother Vaughn just preached the cross. I did. Just preach the Holy Ghost. I did.
Yes.
Just preach water baptism. I did. But something happened. The saints now are saying that is the foundation of our faith. We need to know more in order to become more.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What they're reaching for, the coming kingdom of God.
Yes,
yes,
they are.
Their growth now comes not from Mount Calvary, but from Mount Zion, the city of our God. And as the man of God begins to preach about this coming kingdom of God, this flower begins to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, he don't only need that because that is truth.
That's right.
Now he needs a service like he had tonight.
Yes.
Will not just teach him about the coming kingdom, but will incorporate it with the moving of the Holy Ghost. When you bring the sun and the rain together, when you bring the kingdom message with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit together, you're producing the end time harvest of mature believers. Hallelujah! No, I ain't done yet. Whoever sent him up here, y'all can hang that up. Hallelujah. Y'all can hang that up. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. This is all that matters. Hallelujah. If I've got a church that don't want this, I'll empty it out and start over. I hope you heard me. I'll empty it all the way out, shut it down, and start over in 6 months. God will send me somebody that wants to hear this. You better hear what I just said.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. If this ain't what you're here for, you in the wrong building. We're not a typical Pentecostal church. No, ma'am, we're a training center. We're trying to get you to see the sun. We're trying to give you the message of the hour. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you locals ain't like my national church. You could care less about some of this. That's why I'd rather preach to them on Saturday morning on my camera. They eat this up. I'm going to tell you what, you don't know what you got here, and it's going to be too late one day. You better sit here until midnight if you have to and say, I'm learning, I'm learning, I'm learning how to grow up in Christ, not here to have church. I lost my desire for having church years ago. Let's have good church. Let's get some good truth. Because if you don't know this, you'll be backslid in a year from now. Our churches have more backsliders. We had more backsliders in our church than any church. Baptists didn't have them backslid. Well, because they was already backslid. They didn't believe in backslide. But in our church, backsliders everywhere. You know why? Because they wasn't taught this.
That's right. They had to keep them coming.
They wasn't taught this truth. If you want to stay in this fight, you got to know this message. Let's read Ephesians 3:17. Yahshua was on the earth. They didn't know what they had. When Elijah was on the earth, they didn't know what they had. We ain't changed a bit. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you verse 17, Ephesians 3:17. That, go ahead, you got it, read it.
That Christ, this microphone ain't working. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
The love of God is what roots you and grounds you. Now, let's go to Colossians 2 and 7, and I'm almost done. Colossians 2 and 7. Somebody say the root is free. Yeah, that seed, that's all free. That's by grace. So anybody that says I'm over here preaching works, you've lost your mind. Not for salvation, I'm not. We don't preach works for salvation around here. Because that, we just found out, we're rooted by the love of God. He drops the seed by his love. Unmerited favor. That seed fell in your heart. You didn't even ask for it. But it ain't going to be that way for the fruit, just the root. The root is free. The seed is free. But the fruit, it's going to cost you everything. Hallelujah. You got to be rooted and fruited. You got to be rooted and fruited. The root is free, but not the fruit. Colossians 2 and 7.
Rooted and built up in
Him. Now hold on. No, no, no. The modern church talks about being rooted in Christ. But that's not all. You must be rooted and what?
Built up in
Him. Built up. Built up. Built up. In your mind till you die. Built up. Built up. Rooted is not enough. The rooting is the begetto. It's the seed word, the word seed. That's the root. When a man seeds a woman, that's the root, but not the fruit of the womb. It's the root of the womb. And the problem with the church, we've got a rooted church. They're rooted in the cross. Thank God. You think I'm against the cross and against Calvary? Then you missed the message. They're rooted in that. They're rooted in when they got the Holy Ghost. Good. They're rooted in when they got baptized or when they spoke in tongues. Good. But now, to your faith, knowledge.
Come on.
Right.
Read it, 2:7.
And established in faith, in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
How do you abound in this growing up? With thanksgiving. Meaning you give no attention to the devil. You learn to give all glory to God. Do you want to know how strong you are in the Lord? I'll know from your testimony. I'll know from what's coming out of your mouth. Because if I hear how bad life is, you're still not growing. But when all I hear is God is good, God is good all the time. He's kept me. He's blessed me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. That's when you're built up. Hallelujah. If you want to abound in that, do it with thanksgiving. But you can only give thanksgiving at the altar of a prayer life. You can only get it in the menorah of the Word of God. You The day after your baptism, God ain't going to be good all the time to you. You ain't going to be going around saying God is good. Now, somebody may have taught you how to say God is good, and you don't mean it no more than you mean anything. But there is a group. I said there is a group of people. When they say it, when they say it, it's coming from an experience that they've had in God, that He is faithful, He is good, He is just, He is kind, omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty. They know who God is. There's no negativity in the being built up. If you still got negativity in you, that's why every person that had negativity is gone from this church. Amen. Yeah, y'all don't know how the negativity I had to deal with. Please shut up.
Come on. Amen.
Hallelujah.
They invited everybody else to the thing. I can't deal with all that. You got to get built up. You got to say, they didn't invite me to eat because God didn't want me to go. He wanted me to stay right here and do what I've been called to do. Hallelujah! God is good! If you want to see people, there is very few people, I'm just going to put it out there, that enjoy hanging around my wife. And I'm one of them sometimes. You want me to tell you why? The first sound of negativity, you got to go. Now, she ain't going to push you away, but the words that come out of her mouth is going to make you run away. I'll come to her when she had some issues going on with her body, and you know, I'm a realist sometimes, and you know, say, well, maybe we need to, you know, do this, do that, and do that. And she said, yeah, but God said. I'm like, I know what God said, but maybe we need to do this or do that. But God said. I said, well, I know God said, but see,
come on.
People like that don't attract drama, because all that comes out of their mouth is the goodness of the Lord. Oh, that's when you're springing up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. You gotta be built up in your faith. You gotta be built up in your faith. You gotta stand in the fire. You gotta stand in the rain. You gotta stand in the flood. You gotta stand in the famine. You gotta stand in the day. You gotta stand in the night. You gotta stand when things are wrong. Stand when things are right. You gotta stand. You gotta be built up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first sign of an immature believer is negativity. First sign. When you get around somebody negative, that's an immature believer. I'm fixing to close in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Now listen, I know people don't understand my preaching. I know that. I don't even understand it sometimes. But I'll tell you what I do know. That God has given me an end time message. And I do know if you'll listen to it, it'll change your life. Let's read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 through verse 13.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
All right. Notice it's, how many have ever heard people quote the scripture, work out your own salvation?
Yeah.
And what do they, what, tell me what they mean by it. That means leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm working out my own salvation.
Right.
Oh, you poor, pitiful, the Bible calls you a fool. That's what the Bible said, not me. You poor, pitiful, the Bible calls you a fool. That's the only way I can get by with saying that.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. It, first of all, if you'll read the verse right above it, it says that God has begun to work in you.
That's right.
That's the word seed.
Right.
He has begun to work in you. But it is up to you to work out the seed of salvation that he has put in you. It's up to him to root you. But it's up to you to fruit you. It's up to you to work out what you've already got inside. God will never change you. He will only give you the seed of change. You got to chew the corn. You got to work out what he worked in. Listen, I wish, look, read that verse. What chapter? Read maybe verse 11. Where are we at? Philippians?
Philippians 2 and 11?
No, hold on.
It was at 2 and 12.
Okay. Boom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, right there. Verse 13. That's the scripture I was just telling you was there that people don't believe. Yep. For it is God that works in you. For a purpose to do his will and his good pleasure. So here we are back to the sermon where we started. It is God that works in you. He puts the word seed in you. But then you got to chew the cud and you got to work. You got to make it come out of your strongholds, out of your now, as I close, let me tell you about these plants that grow. At nighttime, something happens to plants. During the day, they collect the energy of the sun, the light, the sunlight, they store that energy and it creates chlorophyll. That's exactly right. They're like solar panels. They collect, watch this. Oh, this is so good, I may shout myself out of here. Hold on. As the plant comes up, it collects from the message of the coming kingdom enough strength, hallelujah, and from the rain of the Holy Ghost, it collects enough strength. But what happens when the nighttime comes? All the strength it collected in the leaves goes into the roots and causes that plant to grow in the night. I've come to tell somebody tonight, when your life gets dark, when your trouble comes, when the sun goes down, you're growing, you're growing, you're growing, you're growing, because you collected from the sun, from the message. Hallelujah! 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 Glory! You're collecting strength.
from the Son of God. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, let that rain fall on you. Let that rain fall on you. Get ready to endure the night. Let that rain fall on you. Let that rain fall. Let it fall on you. Collect your strength. Collect your strength.
Trees growing in his yard in the front. And then on the side, there's some tall trees. And these tall trees, they overshadow those crepe myrtles. But those crepe myrtles have turned toward the sun, and they're almost, they've bent it way over to get to the sun. Amen. They get